Welcome to the Restoration Church Life Podcast. We hope this resource helps keep you informed about the various happenings inside the life of our church and equips you to make disciples that delight in the supremacy of Jesus Christ. So here we are. We are sitting in Central Asia with our brother and our sister, and also Laura and Travis are with us on this trip. And so we want to take some time with you, our dear brother and sister, and just spend some time talking to you. We've had a wonderful visit so far. So to start things off, how are you? How is your soul in Christ? How's your marriage? And just, yeah, how are you?
Yeah, I think we're doing well, and we're not doing well, like, in a sense.
So. Hey, it sounds just like home.
So we've been here a year and a half now, and I'd say, like, we're just learning a lot more of how wonderful the Lord is and how much He loves us. But a lot of that's coming through just us seeing a lot more of our own weakness and sin, and then just the overwhelming need around us. So I do personally feel like we're kind of always feeling knocked down a lot. But on the flip side, God's really using that to really help us have our gaze more on our eternal home, which is really good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would just echo what she said about we feel beat down a lot of days, and it's because of kind of the stresses in life with parenting two little ones overseas, and things just always seem to be changing here. We can't get into a routine that we can say we own. You know, we've mastered this routine. Mm-hmm. Things just keep changing. And, I think the Lord is using that to humble us. And it's good in some ways, because it's causing us to stop trusting in our own, ability or strengths. And we're seeing increasingly our weakness out here. But we've been really encouraged by the church, in particularly the international church here. And just the ways that it's been a genuine encouragement for us week in, week out. I think that's something that's increasingly been so in
you're
the last year and a half.
Seeing the church grow more spiritually and numerically.
Yeah, that's been an encouragement to us.
Yeah, so it seems as life is very fluid here and a little bit last minute in some ways, right? So in America, we're like, okay, yes, we can have dinner at 7 p.m. 3 weeks from Friday. Does that work for your calendar? That's not the way it is here, right?
No, for example, we invited your friend and our mutual friend who you got to know in D.C. And did he ever tell us he wasn't going to come to lunch with his family? No, he told me when he came to church this morning that his family was not coming to the meal. And our other friends told us
last
night.
We got a wedding invite the night before the wedding.
How does that play into caring for your own soul, right? So how does that fluidity play into you both making sure you're spending time together as a family and personally with the Lord?
Yeah, I think it, we're just learning to be more deliberate about making sure we have time with the Lord and with one another. And so we just find the times that can work. Like, in terms of being with the Lord, this culture is not a morning culture. So we can kind of make sure we have that time. And then as a family, we've deliberately decided, like, hey, we have a day that we're not going to study language, or we're not going to intentionally try to, you know, do visits or engage out in the community apart from just doing stuff with our family.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, you know, tried to be all things to all men to win them to Christ. But and that is a goal of ours to contextualize our lives here. And that has meant certain things. We have had to change our schedules in some ways. We are definitely later people. We stay up later. Our kids go to bed at 8:30 at night. If that's night.
I was going to say, when is
later?
When does that happen?
It hasn't
happened since we've been here.
Yeah, 9:30, 10. But surprisingly, that actually is not very late for the culture. So we've had to draw some lines and say, we're not going to let our kids stay up till 2. We're not going to stay up till 2 with families every night because we need to wake up early in the morning and spend some time with the Lord before our 2 kids wake up and chaos begins. Mm-hmm. And so there are some boundaries we've had to draw, you know, over the last year and a half to keep ourselves healthy as a family spiritually.
And so with all those kind of competing, you know, needs on your time and with how challenging that can be, are you guys able to do kind of regular family worship together with all 4 of you?
Yeah. So I would say 3-4 days out of the week, we actually get it in there. On other days of the week, we're usually like eating out or doing something somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so, or it just doesn't, or I forget, or we eat really late.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've begun to, with our kids, we've begun to read through, the book of Matthew. And so we're just reading through, they enjoy it. It's, and we usually sing a couple of songs, nothing sophisticated.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah, we can't even sing My House, so I have a YouTube playlist we have to play.
Actually, after we saw it last year, Joey, I made a YouTube playlist.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's helped us, too.
How about in terms of just the logistics of living here? So the big one is language.
Right. Yeah, so that's also something for us that we're continually evaluating and kind of fluid in our life, because there isn't just like a language school here to go to. We kind of have to set up our language system, which means sometimes it doesn't work. And so we're having to like rethink it and do it again. And then we're kind of thinking through like, okay, our daughter just started a preschool in the local language and trying to, things come up for her as she's trying to figure that out, or they shut the little daycare down that we put our son in. So it's always something that, yeah, we don't seem to have a grasp on that, but we're, I don't know if you want to add.
Yeah, I think we've gotten a foundation in the language, and we still have a long way to go in terms of actually doing discipleship in the language and giving the whole counsel of God to people. But I think really where we're at right now is we're realizing we need to bring our kids along with us, that our kids have to feel comfortable in the culture, and they have to make friends. And part of that is going to be language. They need to, you know, to speak the language at some point to feel comfortable here, or else everything will just be strange to them and foreign, and they'll never really assimilate. And so we're finding with our oldest that's a challenge. I mean, she really likes to understand things, and when she doesn't, that can be frustrating. We can sympathize with her in that, as I know you guys can being here this week. That's a prayer request for us, that our kids would come along as well, and that, you know, they're different, and our daughter's very shy and maybe introverted, and so that's a big challenge for her. But thankfully, she's been willing to do it. It's just, we're realizing we need to kind of give some more time to think about how to do that well.
Yeah, yeah. Other logistics aspects here that you've grown accustomed to, or are there other things that, I mean, I think Travis and Laura both agree with me after being here for a week, and I was here a year ago, it seems as though you're much more comfortable.
Yeah.
It seems as though you have no issues getting around. Now, I don't speak the language, but even some of the, but we've talked with some of the people that you interact with regularly, and they've mentioned how well you've picked up the language. I heard one lady telling you after church today, it's amazing that you are where you are after being here for just a shorter period of time. But other logistics things that, how's that?
Mm.
Are there
getting around the city? And
yeah, I mean, you get around the city fine.
People shop for clothes.
Yes, there you go.
You can ask Travis about his jacket and how good of...
No problems. No problems, jacket.
His zipper didn't work very well after he bought it.
Or before he bought it.
Well, he bought it. Yeah, I mean, we certainly... I think we're to a place, in a dangerous place, though, because we can functionally get around and we can do everything we need to do, although we are very encouraged, like you were saying, Joey, and just God allowing us to learn the language to some degree. I think we're in a place right now where we can get by, and so we're very comfortable. And so maybe some of the edge that we had earlier on to really learn the language and culture is a little bit waning right now. And so we're just, you know, praying that we would keep the hand of the plow and keep working. I mean, our friend who you guys know, he's been at it, 7 years now? And he's, in the last 2 years, he's made significant strides in being able to do discipleship in the language. So we're at a place now, we're at a pivotal point, I think, where we can get by, and it's easy now for us to say, okay, let's stop trying to really work hard. Let's kind of hit cruise control. Mm. And, so yeah, we're both encouraged, but then we're also realizing, how much we have to go. You know, it's like the Christian life. You realize the more you grow in Christ, the more sinful you are. Yeah. And so we're just realizing, you know, we have a long way to go. So,
well, I was just going to add to, like, we feel pretty comfortable here, but I think in learning the culture more and the language, and we're kind of more aware, we're more aware of how things operate. And so there's also more of a trying to sort through, like, how much do we need to go into the culture, like, if it's going to hurt our family or hurt, you know, mm-hmm. like, just where we are at. So just trying to sort through that can be, can take a lot of wisdom or need a lot of help just to think through, like, okay, I feel like I should be doing this to be culturally appropriate, but that's going to cause some kind of sacrifice, and is that sacrifice worth it or not?
Yeah. As you guys talk about kind of navigating the culture here, would, you know, in America, one of the biggest obstacles to the gospel, you know, things like materialism or comfort, is there a particular obstacle that you guys have found here in terms of culture and things that are kind of holding people back from really engaging in the gospel?
One thing just immediately comes to mind. There are different religions here. So Islam is the majority religion, but that's not
the only religion.
With a lot of the people we talk to, there's just a, and believing their religion comes with that, like, a total, there's just less desire to criticize or to critically think about other things, and a blindness to being able to see differences in things and to really challenge their way of thinking, so...
And because it appears, because religion and family and life are so intertwined, that to come and follow Jesus, it's a rejection of a lot of
family.
Their friends. Whereas in America, we have this idea, and I think it's an idea, a heretical idea, that you can follow Jesus and it doesn't cost you anything.
Right.
Whereas here, it's clearly cost.
So I think it, for people even to go there, they don't even let themselves go to those
thoughts. I think the tribal mentality of, like, the family mentality, like, my family is this, therefore I am that.
Yeah.
That's very strong here. And that actually is maybe stronger than even the religious, is what they're saying, than the religious identity.
Right.
And so we're finding that, yeah, even to study the Bible with somebody seriously, or if someone's a seeker, they're often doing it in secret, or they're doing it on the side, and it's not always open to their family and parents. And so we're trying to engage people that are interested, but we also have to engage their families. It can be quite tricky sometimes. A girl who, one of you guys, or Nathan,
the last team, yeah,
Nathan Matt. Actually talked with her, I think, on the last trip.
Yep.
And so he's been gone meeting with her, but it's been through phone, through text. We'll send her some text of scripture, and they'll talk about it. We've gone to their house a couple of times and talked to the father, let him know we're Christian, talked about the Bible with him. But she will even delete things, like, you know, on delete text. And so there's this kind of weird dynamic of the social pressure that keeps them from thinking about Christ.
And I remember you saying you deliberately went and met with the father, so it wasn't like you were trying to undermine his authority and leadership of his home, which, again, that's just a totally foreign category in the United States. I would never think of sharing the gospel, I need to go talk with your dad to make sure I have your permission, right? Just one thing. Let's transition a little bit to encouragement. Laura and Travis, I want you both to tell me one way you have been encouraged by our brother and sister.
So our sister here, a lot of what she does is she goes into people's homes and meets with women here. Just, she's been able to develop relationships and meet with ladies who spend most of their days in the home. And the culture here has a very a very strong hospitality setup
where yes, it
there
does.
Are these where you go in and you get water and then you get snacks and tea and just the there's a format.
Mm.
And so learning how to handle that well, especially when some of these people are refugees and they don't have much.
Mm.
So that our sister here is working to build friendships and build relationships with this. And a refugee woman asked her to tell a story about Jesus when we were there this week. And just that this building relationships while loving Jesus does point to Christ.
Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Travis, one way you've been encouraged?
Yeah. I think the first thing that comes to mind for me is that there's really kind of two ways to be comfortable in the culture, right? You can either just really naturally be comfortable all the time, or you can work at it really hard. And I think what we've seen with you guys is that especially you, brother, you're just from the chances that we've had to interact and I've been able to see you interact here, is just knowing how much work you've put into the language and knowing how much work you've put into getting to know so many people. I mean, you're able to make connections with people here really quickly. And I know some of those haven't come easily. You know, some of those you've put a lot of hard work into, and we've seen the fruit coming off of those. You know, we've got people from an unengaged people group came to church for the first time. You know, you're breaking new ground in the work that you're doing here in a really profound way. You know, a people group that's never really been engaged with the gospel since the gospel's been here for, you know, thousands of years, and they're for the first time being engaged. And at the same time, there's also people that you're just meeting, you know, off the cuff in a taxi, in a restaurant, and seeing you hit this, you know, really quick patter with them in their own language and just being able to do that right off the bat. I know that's the fruit of a lot of hard work. But it comes out as something that's very easy and natural, and it's cool to see both sides of that, the apparent ease and comfort, and also knowing how much work you put on in the back end to get there. And I mean, that's fundamental to doing, you know, the kind of work that you guys are doing here.
Yeah. And likewise, I think that on those areas that, you know, a couple of relationships that I have mentioned how caring, kind, hospitable you are, how quick you've taken to the language. Those are all encouraging. But I think what's also really important for you both to be encouraged by is two things: your love for each other and your discipling of your children.
Amen.
So it's clear that you two try to communicate really well, carefully, about just life here. And those things are wonderful. And both of you in your discipling of your children, I've seen it firsthand, reading books, caring, being kind, being gentle, being patient, being docile, all those things that happen inside the home. So be encouraged. I know as a father, it's hard enough to do it in a language that's my first language and people that are all around me and with a wider support structure. And so you should be encouraged that God's at work in your family, and you should praise God that whether the gospel gets out, we pray that it does, but most importantly, your children and yourselves, being fueled by the gospel. And I think that's happening. So in those ways. As we read in the book of Philippians, we believe that part of our coming here, a large part, in fact, the main goal of this trip was simply to encourage you. Paul talks about how he was encouraged by Epaphroditus. When I gave you the gifts earlier this week, I quoted Philippians 4 where Paul says, I have received full payment and more. I am well supplied, have received the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, pleasing and acceptable to God. And so, as you talk to Restoration Church, what are some of the ways that you have been encouraged by Restoration Church, both on this trip, but even just throughout your interactions with our church body?
Well, it's actually Friday afternoon here, and Friday is the day we have church. And so, one of the first things that comes to mind is just that Joey preached to us this morning. It's just a real blessing to have a live preacher. We've not had that in a while. So, and he preached from Ephesians 1, and in there it says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. So we're really thankful to have the Word of God preached to us to think about how lavish God's love is for us. And it's just been really, really wonderful in this trip to, like, know God's lavish love through the practical ways y'all have served us and encouraged us, like, through, one, just giving your money to come on, and your time to come on a trip like this. There's people that they met while they're here that are expat workers, and they're like, wow, we wish our church was like, that people would just come over to encourage us. And you've encouraged us through another year of an Advent, which will help us to treasure Christ this Advent season, and will...
So what did you, all of our people may not know, what did you get for Advent?
Yeah, so we got, like, many of you have apparently written letters and that will be opening up. And from last year, they were, I was like, wow, I want to learn how to write letters like this. and they also included for Sundays and I think even some other days to, for the kids to have books to open that will... And chocolates.
Yes, chocolates every other day. Books on
way that you've saved me from having to organize that. If I was left to me, it may not have happened. So, and just sending over treats and even a phone. Thank you for that, and for Joey, like, taking his time to set it up. I told him that's like, I just can't, I really don't like doing this stuff. Yeah, and just the encouragement, like, even earlier I said, the culture, like, you know, we're trying to learn, like, not to just, how much do we go into the culture, to what cost, but, like, because of them, we've also gotten to know, have deeper relationships with locals here, and five of local non-Christians came to church.
Yeah, five locals that had never been to church before. Yeah. We're in church this morning.
Yeah, and my tendency is to be like, oh, the appropriate thing would be to do a really nice home-cooked meal and have a really clean house and have them come over. But thankful to Laura, Travis, and Joey, and my husband, just for the encouragement to not have to do that. I'm just tired right now. So, like, just, providing an opportunity for us just to go to a restaurant. So thank y'all for the ways y'all encourage me to... enjoy Christ more and not just focus on what I'm doing.
Praise God. Yeah. Well, one of the practical ways I was encouraged on this trip is to buy local clothes, because I think you two brothers are more braver than me to buy clothes here. I've always been skeptical of local clothes, and I think, unfortunately, Travis, your experience has proved to me that clothes here aren't very good.
Don't buy the cheap ones. Go to the regular store.
To the regular store.
Don't go to the market. That's right. Yeah.
The jacket looks great though.
Yeah. So,
no
grace. I think out of all the there's a lot of practical ways I could share, just like my wife here, but I think really the comment she made, that's someone else, a worker, made to you guys.
Yeah, I think it was Laura, just so they know. So Laura, we were at dinner, and they asked, why are you here? And what did you say?
I said, oh, we're here to visit our friends. We are here to encourage them. Basically because we love them, because this is what we want to do.
And how did they reply?
Oh, I wish my church I wish people from my church would come here.
Yeah.
And so I think this is a point worth mentioning again, because, and even our closest ministry partner here, when he said, what is the purpose of their trip? And I was just like, to encourage. And it just, honestly, I think a lot of churches are neglecting this and feeling like it's not worth it unless you have some big project or some, you know, particular, mercy ministry or something like that to do. And I think what we've found in our experience of restoration is just this simple, encouragement, with the gospel, with preaching, with doing life on life, this kind of discipleship model. Has actually been hugely encouraging for us. And we don't get a lot of this close, intense fellowship with other believers as much as we did in the States. And so for you guys to provide that for a week is a real boost for us in our faith and the work here. And you guys get to a more better insight into, I think, the work here.
Yeah.
And also, I think it actually, what's been encouraging is seeing how some people are actually looking and thinking about more longer-term work from Restoration. And so it's cool to see increasing presence of restoration here. Yeah. And that I think that was God's work. He kind of naturally worked this out. So
amen. Yeah, very good. Well, like I said, we do hope that we're an encouragement in many ways. Mm. Even from simple things like doing dishes and helping clean up to reading the kids' books. And
yes, I forgot to mention, a big thing has just been their, y'all's support to our kids. They like love Laura, Joey, and Travis.
Travis is the silliest.
Yeah, Travis is the silliest. And Laura does have the best reading voices. yeah, anyway, so as we close down here, this is not just one way. This is two ways. So Paul was writing from the field to the church, as it were, to encourage them. So what would be one or two specific ways that you would want to encourage, challenge Restoration Church?
I think one thing that came out of the last trip with Nathan and Joey and
Joe and Janae and David
is nowadays with technology being the way it is and the way, you know, you can easily travel here in 13 or it's 36 hours for you guys. but you know, you can even just talk on Facebook Messenger as everyone here uses Facebook. These things really allow you guys in the States to be engaged with people here. And to, you can follow up with these relationships, and it actually is meaningful. The way the culture here, the way it is here, you know, if you talk every year, then you're a better and better friend. You know, you don't need to talk every day or week in order to be a better friend. They see time is much, it's a more long-term thing for them. Friendship is here. And so just the practical ways you can engage, the practical ways you guys are already engaging as a church, engaging internationals in DC, even from the people group here. And we've already seen some of the fruit of you guys going to a, or you guys already knowing somebody that's engaged.
Yeah, there's a weave of connection. There's a weave of translation work. One of our friends is a friend of a person in D.C. So just the web of connections that go all the way back to our own city. So following up on those.
Yeah, okay. So just realizing you guys can own some of that even being in D.C. And so I just want to encourage you guys on in doing that, which you're already doing really well. And we're encouraged to see where that will take us.
Yeah.
I think I just want to encourage you on and out of Ephesians 1, as we heard, just to continue to remember how you've been blessed in Christ. And so as much as you guys are remembering that and cherishing all that you've received in Christ, you're going to continue to encourage us in that same way. And that's just going to fuel us in ministry, and that's going to open up just more ministry here too. So thank you for the ways you have done that, and I just encourage you today to be encouraged anew in what Christ has done for you.
Amen. Well, good. Well, thank you for hosting us. We do look forward to coming back soon rather than later. I know I would want to be on the next trip, but we may have to make room for others, but we'll see. But yeah, Jen, we were encouraged by you guys, and hopefully you are by us, and we will continue to press on, as Paul says in Philippians 3, straining forward, holding on to the hope that we have in Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Restoration Church Life Podcast. May God continue to give us the grace to make disciples that delight in the supremacy of Jesus Christ in Washington, D.C. and beyond.